Blog Talk Radio.
Guys, what is going on? This is the Dark Main Event presented by KayfabeCorner.com. I am Steve. That is Josh. Josh, say hi.
Hey, hi, and what up, Internet? Steve, how are you?
I am doing great. How about yourself?
Fan-damn-tastic.
That is great. We are going to have a lot of fun tonight, guys, but before we start, we would be remiss if we didn't mention what happened yesterday in Boston, and I'm sure I speak for you, Josh, that we are thinking about everybody out there, and we know we'll pull through, and we're just here for everybody in these tough times.
Indeed, we are. Like Steve said, you know, our thoughts definitely do go out to everybody who was affected by the terrible tragedy that happened yesterday. We just hope that if anybody does happen to be listening from that area that was affected by that, that our show will entertain you and hopefully at least take your mind off of it for just a little bit.
Indeed, and now that we've covered that and we can move on and have some fun tonight, let's talk about Monday Night Raw from last night. Came from Greenville, South Carolina, and I know you and I have differing opinions on the show, believe it or not, and I think people might be surprised, so why don't we start with your opinion. What did you think about last night?
I was not impressed with the show. I mean, there were parts of it that were really good. I thought the Ryback promo was really good, despite the fact that it was pre-taped. I thought it was very well done. The ending was well done with the Shield, despite the little flub there. But other than that, I mean, the Cesaro-Kofi match was, you know, it was a good match, but I just didn't like the way that it was booked to have Cesaro lose the title so quickly, you know, with no build-up or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree and I disagree, and here's the thing. Of course, it's not going to measure up from last week, and I think a lot of people either subconsciously expected it or were just being like, Raw's going to be this great every week, and we're going to have this awesome crowd, and we know that's not the case. But, I mean, here's the thing. WWE is trying something different. I know the booking wasn't great. R-Truth beat Wade Barrett. Kofi won the U.S. title. Nikki Bella beat Caitlyn, for God's sake. The Divas match was the main event, but they're trying. And we can't shit on them for doing something different when we're constantly calling for them to do something different.
Very true. Very good points. I was actually just thinking about something similar to that earlier, to where, you know, for years and years, from like 2005 on, the main title picture was, you know, basically John Cena, Triple H, Batista, and like Edge. And just recently, you know, we've had, you know, some newer guys in the picture, Punk and, you know, even The Rock, you know, even though he's not really a newer guy, he's different, you know. So they are trying something different, and I do give them credit for that. But last night's show just didn't really do much for me.
Yeah, I mean, and I can see why. I think the Cesaro thing is really fucking stupid, and I have no idea why they just gave him this crappy gimmick with the yodeling, and now he's jobbing to Kofi Kingston, and they're probably going to push him down the card for what? What did he do?
That's a good question. I mean, but my thing was, like, he, you know, the whole gimmick with Cesaro was that he said, you know, that no American could beat him for the title, and so you think that, you know, that would be the build-up to where an American would beat him for the U.S. title, and he loses to a guy from Ghana, or
yeah,
Jamaica, or wherever the hell Kofi's supposed to be from.
Well, Kofi went to college at Boston College, so I guess he's Americanic. King? I have no idea.
You never know. He did bring the title home to wherever the hell that is.
Yes, whichever country he's being billed from this week. As far as the end, I'm surprised we didn't hear any news out of the WWE headquarters in Stamford that whoever was working the camera last night got fired for that Shield shot at the end of the show.
I actually do have exclusive backstage information on that very situation. It will be posted shortly later this week on kayfabecorner.com. You can read the Behind the Curtain segment. That's has an exclusive on that.
Yeah, an exclusive. You guys should go check that out. In all seriousness, Josh is hilarious, and I can't take credit for anything in any of those columns. Okay, I can a little bit, but
that's untrue. Really some of the ideas have been yours.
It's really great. You guys should go check Josh and all the other bloggers out on kayfabecorner.com, of course, including myself. One other thing I wanted to discuss from Raw that I've noticed in the pattern, and I know we talked about this last night, was the Divas are main eventing Raw. They're not the last thing to go on, but they're the last match the fans are getting before we go into the John Cena promo of the night. I'm not quite sure why that is, that they're trying to push the Divas division back up, but who the fuck cares?
I certainly don't. I honestly didn't even pay attention to the match last night. I didn't even realize it was the last actual match until somebody pointed it out to me.
I think it's been 3 out of the last 4 weeks, except for the go-home show for Mania. A Divas match has been the last actual match on Raw, which is just mind-blowing. Because the Divas weren't on Raw for, what, a month and a half?
I'm sorry, you cut out there. One more time.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Divas haven't been on Raw for a month and a half, and then all of a sudden they're the last match on Raw 3 out of the last 4 weeks. It's mind-boggling to me how they're booking these women.
It makes no sense. And another thing that makes no sense is, you know, the Bellas, you know, had been with Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow, and that whole thing has just dissolved completely.
Well, they're lost with Cody and Damian. I mean, they were together, then they were going to go their separate ways, then it was a reunion tour, and then they fought the Outlaws, and now they've been back together. And whoever's doing the booking, it must be Vince Russo or Kevin Nash or something, because this just makes no goddamn sense at all.
Indeed. I'm surprised we didn't see some kind of a X on a pole match last night, because I was certain that Russo was booking that show.
We saw everything last night. I mean, R-Truth, who wasn't on Raw. Speaking of R-Truth, where was The Miz? Did Miz not get a rematch?
That is actually a good question. I hope that this doesn't spoil things too much for people, but tonight's SmackDown taping, Miz was not at that either, or on Main Event, or the other one that's on Saturday Morning Slam.
Maybe he's injured or something. I mean, because it's very odd that he wins the title at Mania, loses the title the next night, and then just is gone.
That's what I was thinking, too. You know, maybe he's injured, maybe he's in the doghouse or something. Maybe he spilled the beans on some big Triple H secret to Vince or something like that. You can read about that at Behind the Curtain, too, on kayfabecorner.com. Cheap plug.
I mean, I'm worried he might have gotten fired. I mean, just the whole thing was crazy.
I don't think he got fired. I mean, I think we'd hear about that, but there's something going on there. Poor Miz.
It's always Miz's fault. One last thing I wanted to discuss from Raw, and I don't know how you felt about this, but Fandango. And Fandangoing was not as present in the crowd as it was last week, and I think we all kind of expected that. But I thought what they did with him was awesome.
Oh, I loved it. That was one of the things that I did like about the show. I forgot to mention earlier the way that, you know, he had the crowd in the palm of his hand waiting for them to, you know, Fandango with him or whatever the fuck he said. And then was just like, no, fuck you. You can't say my name. You guys can go fuck yourselves. I loved that. I thought it was great.
It was great. It was a classic heel promo, and I thought Jerry Lawler was going to dance and have another heart attack in the ring.
I was hoping that he wouldn't, actually, and I'm getting a comment from the group, facebook.com/kayfabecorner, that I'm actually saying Fandango's name wrong. So let me try to correct that. It's Fandango.
I don't think the A's were breathed enough. You got to let them breathe. Try
it. Let me try it one more time. Hang on. Me. All right, here we go. Fandango.
I think that was pretty good. We'll let the group and some of the callers decide how your Fandango impression was. I'm not even going to attempt to do it right now, but maybe next week if Fandango does something interesting again.
Your voice is still feeling it from last week, eh?
No, I just don't really feel like doing it. But, you know, that's not important.
I got a 4 out of 10 from Mrs. General Guildmaster, so, you know, that's cool. You know, I'm no Fandango, I'll admit that.
You know Johnny Curtis either, but I think nobody's
true.
Johnny Curtis except Johnny Curtis.
That's very true, and, you know, I actually heard that he was selling real estate in South Dakota now. Someone told me that from the WWE chat room, so, yeah.
Well, that's the smartest group on Facebook. If you guys want to go there, facebook.com/WWE chat room. There are some really smart people in there. Somehow they heard about Jeff Hardy dying before Jeff Hardy even died. I mean, it's amazing stuff that goes on in there. You guys should really check it out.
Yeah, they're really good. Some guy, you know, he felt so inferior to them that he actually killed himself.
Oh, wow. Who was that guy?
Some guy, I don't know. He was a jackass.
Oh. Okay, whatever.
He deserved it.
Well, if we don't have anything else that we want to say about Raw, I don't think I do.
I believe I am good on that subject.
All right, then we need to get some opinions from everybody listening out there in Radio Land. So this is your time to call in, guys, 347-838-9944. Let us know your thoughts on Monday Night Raw from last night. If you agree or disagree with... Go ahead.
What?
No, I was just going to say people can say if they agree or disagree with anything that I or you said in terms of, you know, what we saw last night. I'm sure people think I'm crazy for actually liking the booking after I got to be at the best Raw of the year, which we all know that it is.
It really was. I think you're crazy.
Well, I have been called crazy before, and, you know, call me crazy, but I wrote a letter to Dolph Ziggler, and it came true on week one. So, I mean, you guys can always check that out, kayfabecorner.com/domain event. My letter to Dolph Ziggler predicted that he would be buried almost immediately after winning the title, and so far so good. He lost to Jack Swagger? Did Jack Swagger beat Del Rio? Something happened?
I believe it was Swagger versus Ziggler, and Swagger did in fact win that match.
It's so dumb. I mean, the sad thing is you can see it coming from a mile away. I wrote it, you know, a week ago. And it's already happening. He's losing to Swagger. There's a triple threat match with Swagger and Del Rio. Why Swagger's still in the title picture, I have no idea.
I don't even know why he stayed in the title picture before WrestleMania after he got in trouble, but, you know.
Well, I mean, and it's like, hey, get a DUI. That's okay. You know, we'll still give you world title matches. We won't bury you. We'll give you wins over our new world champion. Here you go. Who's running the WWE wellness policy? Anybody know? Is it Chris Benoit?
Nah, Chris Benoit is running the daycare center, I think.
Oh, okay. I do apologize. I get those things mixed up sometimes. I feel like they're the same thing.
I apologize as well because that was a horrible, horrible joke. It was way too soon.
Oh, is that too soon? Yeah, okay. I think there's one person out there on Radio Land who thinks that joke was too soon.
Yeah.
Maybe one? None? Maybe? Was it too soon? Okay, whatever. Well, we're waiting for some calls. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just laughing at my joke.
Laughing at your joke? We are quiet on the calls tonight, so while we're waiting, why don't we discuss some Facebook.com/KFabeCorner hats right now. Since our phone lines are completely dry at the moment.
Good going, guys. Way to support
us.
Thanks,
listeners. CM Punk, we didn't even talk about Punk's segment last night.
That is true. It was, to me, I thought it was kind of forgettable because it was just, meh.
I mean, I know I it was weird how he just kind of stopped, and it sounded like he was playing the crowd, which was just totally disrespecting him.
True.
All right. Sorry. Finally, we do have a caller on the line.
All right. Let's
pick that up. Good evening.
Hello.
How are you doing? Welcome to the Dark Knight event.
What's good?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic.
This is your friendly neighborhood guild manager.
Mr. Staples, how are we doing tonight?
Hey,
I'm
what's
doing
going
pretty
on?
Good. Yourself? I'm great.
We're doing great.
We are doing fantastic.
Awesome.
It's funny that you called, actually, Staples. I don't know, Josh, if you heard this, but we got a very odd message that mentioned you on a machine. Don't ask me when we got an answering machine. Yeah. Let me know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Let me pull this up real quick. Hold on one second here.
Hello. Bane here. I just wanted to let you know that I love your show. The Dark Main Event is my favorite podcast. You see, I love the dark. I was born in it, molded by it. I have only one request, and that is to give my friend Jeremy Staples a shout-out for having a large vascular cock. It really is quite impressive, you know. That is all. Thank you.
Wow.
Mr. Guild Manager, do you care to explain what the fuck that was?
Yeah. I have no clue, but bless his heart. Bless his heart.
I do think he's a huge Batman fan.
I don't know what you're talking about. I do think he undersold the massive, you know, size of my cock, honestly.
I wouldn't know.
We'll just ask Beeler.
Okay.
Beeler likes to say that he has huge balls. Well, I complete him. You know, we're set, really. We're one man together, honestly.
Well, bitch McCunt, if you're out there, apparently Staples completes you, so that's breaking news here on Kayfabe Corner presents the Dark Knight event.
Can I just say one thing? I don't know about Steve, but I don't appreciate obscene messages being left on my voicemail from Superboy.
Well, then you should talk to him about that, because I don't know what this was about. I'm as surprised as you.
Well, I mean, I don't think it was Jeremy. You know, Bane just randomly called in, and I mean, he asked for a shout-out, and then he got all creepy and started talking about Dark, and where's Batman when you need him? Because he should be, you know, our phone operator, answering calls and whatnot.
And, you know, Bane's been calling me at home, too, like in the middle of the night, just breathing really heavily, and it's really creeping me out.
All right, well, hey, if you get a hold of Bane before we do, tell him, please leave us alone.
Yeah.
Will do.
Oh, boy. All right, well, anything else, Mr. Guildman?
Well, actually, yes. I have something to say, and this comes from the bottom of my heart, as everything I say does. After less than two full episodes of this show, you guys have officially peaked, like, seriously, and I think it's time to call it quits, honestly. So I give you an A for effort, being that you're both basically retarded, you know? A little pat on the head.
Well, I'm glad we have such an adoring fan. Thank you very much.
We do appreciate it, boss. Thank you.
No problem. Anytime.
All right, Mr. Guild Manager, I do believe you have someone else that we are actually looking for, believe it or not, and I don't think it's Bane.
No. I'm going to pass you off to the better half of the Staples clan, you know, the one with the nicer tits. And she has some words for you. So have a good night, and just seriously, guys, do better. Better effort. Come on. You can do better than this. I expect more from you.
Thanks,
all right.
Boss.
Thanks, boss.
Later.
Jeremy Staples.
Hi, guys.
Well, hello there, Bethany. How are we doing tonight?
Doing good. How are you?
Well, after that, I'm feeling a little defeated. I mean, your husband just told us we suck, so.
You gotta get used to it. He tells me on a daily basis.
But
all right,
probably...
well, I mean, yeah. Whatever. Go ahead, Jeffrey. I have no
So what's going on tonight?
Well, you should know what's going on, because this is the new segment we've been teasing for nights and nights and nights and all of Q. We actually got you your own theme. Let me see if I can cue that up real quick here. I bet you like that. It's time for a brand new segment we like to call Girl Meets Wrestling. Now, we wanted to get Bethany a segment on the show because everybody loves Bethany. I mean, who doesn't? But we didn't want to step on Casual Corner because that's such an awesome blog and we don't want to mix it up. So what we did was we came up with an idea. Well, we're going to send Bethany a match every week or couple weeks, and she cannot get any help from any wrestling fans in her household that are named Mr. Guild Web Manager Staples. And she will give her own opinion on the match. So, Josh, why don't you tell our nice listeners what match we gave Bethany to start off with?
The match that we decided to start off with was The Undertaker versus Mizark Henry in a casket match from WrestleMania 22 in 2006.
All right.
Yes.
Bethany, you did watch the match, right? You didn't screw us?
I didn't screw you. I did watch the match. In fact, I watched it right after I got off of work today, so it would be fresh in my memory.
Okay.
And,
why don't you go ahead and let us know what you thought.
All right. I had to take some notes because I was trying to explain to Jeremy. He laughed at me when I said I needed to get a pen and paper. He was like, why? And I was like, because honestly, you know, depending on what the match is, I'm a girl like that is a casual fan of wrestling, and I may just tend to, you know, zone off. So I took some notes, and the first note I wrote was, holy shit, this entrance, you know, is uber long, obviously. Undertaker is already in it. But I didn't realize that the fucking casket would get an entrance of its own. And I was sitting there thinking, dude, I could have gone in to the concession stand to go get a beer and come back and not miss any of the match. So that part, I didn't really know that was going to happen. But I did like the fact that Mark Henry got all savage and went balls to the wall and interrupted Taker's entrance. So I think by that point people were starting to fall asleep, so that was nice, you know, just to get it started off with a bang. And, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, you were still talking. Go ahead.
Audible Don West snore.
So I did enjoy, it's been a while since I've seen Undertaker move that much. You know, I think I remember somebody saying he had, what, two hip replacements or something? I don't know. Something happened with his hips. So it was kind of nice to see him, like, running and bouncing and jumping and flying all over the place. That was awesome. So RIP Taker's pep. I miss the pep in his step. I didn't know that there were any pins in a casket match. I don't know why I didn't realize this, but it made me really embarrassed. But I soothed myself by realizing that neither did Mark Henry. So that made me feel a little bit better. He tried to pin him.
He didn't even forget that. Mark's not the smartest.
He didn't know that. He did pin him. and then, you know, Taker finally knocks him down. Boom. And goes flying off the ropes and tombstones him. That was super rad. But, again, I just had to wonder how many hemorrhoids or hernias he might have gotten in doing said feat.
Oh, man. This whole segment's going to be hemorrhoids, hernias, and resting to take his pep in his step.
And boom.
And boom, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they both were kind of, you know, the bodysuit things, and they didn't have pretty boots, so I couldn't comment on either of those either. So I tried.
You tried. Overall, what would you give this match? Would it be a Bret Hart 4 out of 10?
I would give it a Bret Hart 4 out of 10, yeah, just because it was nice to see Undertaker move that much. It was, you know, like I said, I haven't watched very much, and so seeing it, you know, I guess they kept making references to his prime, like nice to see him back, you know, the old Taker and all that. So, you know, I guess he was still past his prime at that point, but to me it seemed, you know, compared to now, it seemed pretty interesting. So I actually like that. I would give it a 4 out of 10.
Right. And the thing with Taker, actually, at that point, is he was moving pretty well up until about 2009, 2010. 2010, he was still wrestling Kane on SmackDown in world title feuds. So it wasn't that long ago, believe it or not. But the thing that
that's interesting.
Yeah, the things I really liked about that match, not to interrupt, I'm sorry, the delay on here sucks. But the thing that I thought was interesting about that was Mark Henry pre-snack time, and he actually looked decent back then, and now he just looks fat.
Yeah, he didn't look as large. That is true. He didn't look large.
He did not. A resident Snackmaster Presley can confirm that. He knows when it's snack time for Mizark.
Oh, it's always snack time for Mizark now. But no, he actually brought it in that match, I thought. As far as all the WrestleMania matches that The Undertaker has had with bigger guys, giants, like, you know, not Great Khali, the other guy that was big, Giant Gonzalez, the Khali clone. Him and King Kong Bundy and, you know, all the other guys, you know, those all stunk. But the match with Mark Henry was actually, I thought it was passable at least.
It was pretty good. I liked the fact that, I really liked the angle that they played with him not being knocked down. So that it was one of those pinnacle moments when he did finally throw him off the rope and, you know, knocked him onto his ass. I thought that part was interesting. Like I said, 4 out of 10, I give it, you know, 5 baps. That's my vote on it.
All right, fair enough. And good listeners out there are already suggesting matches we should give Bethany next week, so clearly this segment is a hit.
Sweet.
If you guys do have any other suggestions that are not Undertaker WrestleMania matches, because we want to make her watch other stuff and not bore her with 21 straight Taker matches, please suggest it either on Facebook.com/KFadeCorner, send us a tweet, an email, do something, but please don't make it an Undertaker match. For Bethany's sake.
For my sake. Leave a little mystery.
Beth, well, we got you on. We got to get your opinion on Raw last night. We're assuming that you watched with the hubby.
I did. My opinion on Raw?
Yes.
I liked the Fandango thing, and I refuse to even say it right, but I liked it. I thought it was cute. I was a little bit disappointed that the crowd didn't get as behind it. It was expected, but... you know, made me a little bit sad. And Del Rio came out in his pretty ass fucking boots that I love. So that part was exciting. As far as the matches go, I liked Ryback's heel. What do they call it? A promo?
Yeah.
I sound like such a fucking girl right now. So I liked his heel promo. I thought that was interesting. And I really liked the end where he just basically sat back and watched Cena. It was predictable. You knew that was, you know, going to happen, especially when they cut to show the Shield. But it was good. It was pretty good. The whole show was, as a whole, was kind of meh. But there were some good moments in there. And like, I liked the points you guys were making earlier on the Divas. I thought that was interesting, where they haven't been around, they haven't wrestled, you know, on TV in a couple months or whatever. And then all of a sudden, that's the last match before they do the final segment. So that was cool.
All right.
If only it wasn't the Bellas.
I
don't like the Bellas.
I like the Bellas for reasons other than their wrestling ability, but, you know, whatever.
He likes them because one of them is dating John Cena, and he is John Cena's biggest fan. As evidence,
you know,
by the picture you see.
That's a week old now, Presley. Just get over it. It's done.
Hey. I didn't wear the shirt.
Yeah, whatever. We're not going to talk about that.
We could see that.
I can see that. All right. Let's let Bethany go. Bethany, thank you very much for calling in and being awesome. And we will get you another segment next week. Suggest those matches, guys.
Awesome, guys. Thank you. Talk to you later.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks,
bye.
Bethany.
That was our inaugural segment of Girl Meets Wrestling. Apparently, it was a hit. A lot of people loved it. And Presley's gone quiet.
Well, I thought you were going to continue. So
No, that was it. We do have another caller who is waiting very patiently while we were talking to the Mrs. General Guild Manager, so let's get this caller on. Please tell us who you are, caller. How are you doing tonight? Welcome to the Dark Maid Event.
Hi, this is Brett Chart.
Hi, Brett.
The best there was.
You sound familiar. Are you related to a bitch McCunt?
I might be.
Yeah, all right. That's very interesting. You know, I didn't even notice that, Presley. Good catch. Brett, what can we do for you?
I just wanted to call and complain because I thought you just weren't on for another hour. So I left my meal to come and speak with you because I just had to call in. So I just wanted to let you know that I can't tell time, apparently.
What kind of delicious meal are you having, sir?
Pizza, duh. Take and bake.
Delicious pizza?
Take and bake, so it's okay. Could be worse, could be better.
You know what would be better? Some calzone.
What was he vetted? Calzone.
We have this place here that makes them from scratch, and it's pretty much the best fucking thing ever. Wait, can we fucking swear on this show?
We fucking can swear on this fucking show.
Okay. I just wanted to fucking make sure.
What? No one fucking told me that. What the fuck are you talking about?
So, I want to squeeze in a little wrestling since we're talking about the Bellas. I just wanted to reiterate my idea from last night. One of the Bellas, I'm not sure which, is starting to get a little bit chunkier. It's starting to show just a little bit. I think they should just stuff this bitch, make her like 250 pounds, super, super fat, and still have them do the whole twin switcheroo thing, and nobody notices. Not
well,
the ref, not the
JBL
announcers, nobody even acknowledges it. And that's what they should do.
Well, JBL notices one Bella being larger than the other, apparently, since he made that comment about 40 times last night.
Yeah, they shouldn't do that. Just get her super, super fat, and then have nobody acknowledge it.
I would actually mark out for that.
I think it would be pretty fucking awesome. It would come across great on TV. I mean, nobody in the audience is going to get it because you can't hear the announcers anyway. But...
Oh, man. All right, I will pass that along to Vince McMahon in the creative department at WWE. We'll get right on that.
Sweet. We'll maybe a little BTK idea for next time.
Hint, Joshua Presley.
Hint.
Possibly.
Presley, or is it Pressel?
It's
in my head, it's always been Pressel.
Think Elvis without the Y.
It's always been Pressel. That's going to be so weird to get used to. It's going to be difficult to fap to, but I think I'll make it work.
Hey.
Please don't disrespect the co-host, Dealer.
Okay.
He means
I'm not,
I
would, I would never fap to somebody I disrespect.
Fair enough, good sir.
All right, so just like last week, Bret Hart is feeling kind of hungry because I just got off work and you guys do this like right as I get off. So I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right, thanks a lot, Bret.
All right,
Brad.
You guys. Yeah, love you too.
We do love you, B-Lit. We do have another call rolling in. So let's
real,
keep
real
it right going. What's going on, caller? How you doing tonight?
Hey, just calling in to say this one, just one thing idea that you should really consider to Vince and Triple H. And this idea is, if they're going to have Team Hell No to drop, like I've been hearing Team Hell No, they're going to probably have them drop the titles to the Shield. If they're going to do that, you should have the Shield afterwards feud with the WWE's version of Kings of Wrestling, because if they bring up Ono, you might as well pair him with Cesaro and put him in a tag team, since it seems like they're ruining Cesaro as a single guy lately, but then losing, it seems like, on a weekly basis when the guy shouldn't lose. I mean, they show all these videos of him as a workhorse. So, yeah, that's my idea. Just have the Shield and put him against that WWE's version of King of the Wrestling and just have him just go all balls out, good match.
That's actually a great idea. I can get behind Kings of Wrestling. The only thing I would be concerned about is that they would kind of bury, I guess, in a sense, the Kings of Wrestling because they're indie guys, and we all know Vince hates indie guys, even though Daniel Bryan's working with Kane as a tag team champion, yay him. But, if they were to call up Chris Hero and put the Kings of Wrestling back together, I'd be all down for that. What about you, Josh?
I love the idea, but like you said, you know, my only concern would be, you know, like you said, they'd get buried. As we all know, not only does Vince not like indie guys, but he hates the tag team division, too. You know, there's been many instances of the entire division getting destroyed by, like, Triple H or something just, you know, in 2 minutes. So I don't know if I would, you know, be behind it in that aspect, but I definitely would love the idea of those two guys and then Rollins and Ambrose working a tag team match on a pay-per-view.
Yeah, because a lot of these indie guys are bringing in, it's like some of them are not working as singles. You might as well build a tag team division with them. Until they kind of figure out what they want to do with them. I mean, you got all these guys down there, and you're still, all these marquee matches are still going to the old guard type people, except for Punk and Brian. And you can really build a good tag team stable with them. I mean, they're not even, lately they haven't been using the Usos, which when they do matches seem to look all right, and you got the primetime players, and they're just basically a bunch of uses, like, the equivalent of Santino in this in the tag team division lately when you got Cole Ass talking about wash rigs whenever they were law Jerry to bring up wash rigs whenever they're out there in the ring.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and the thing is, Mike, that a ton of tag teams exist in WWE. I mean, you still have Epico and Primo. Whenever Junico heals from his ACL injury, if they bring him back, you have him and Camacho. You have, like you said, primetime players. You have Santino teaming up with Great Khali and Zack Ryder, whoever it is, and they're not using any of these people. And if they want to rebuild the tag team division, they've got to start doing some of that. But you're right. It seems like they're just all over the place with the booking, and they have no idea which side is their head and which side is their ass.
It goes even in the Divas division, because when you look on paper, the Divas division right now is stronger in NXT than it is on Raw and SmackDown.
NXT in general, I think, is stronger than Raw and SmackDown right now. They're stacked down there, and they're just keeping everybody on the farm.
But there's nothing to do. I mean, you can't bring them up because there's not much going on. But yeah, that's basically all I called to say is just, you know, they need to give some of these guys something to do because they're still, the mid-card has a lot of talent and it just seems like they're just keeping them stuck in neutral.
All right. Well, thanks for your call, Mike. We appreciate it.
Yep. Bye.
Thanks, Mike. Josh, I do apologize. I made an error. We do have a Brett Beeler special theme when he calls in, but I was so stunned to see him pop up that I completely forgot to play it. Let me make up for that real quick. Brett, we know you called in already, but this one's for you, buddy. If you guys can't tell, that is Eugene's theme. Eugene, remember him? That is for Brett Beeler, who is from Eugene, Oregon. So there you go, Brett. Every time you call in, we won't screw that up again. And neither will Josh Edwards' pet pig.
We totally picked that song because you're from Eugene and not because you're retarded.
Actually, that's why we picked it, too.
I was just trying to be nice. Steve, why you ruin things?
Nope.
Just how I am, you know? I mean, Dean Ambrose pops in saying nope, and that's that.
Yeah.
You guys got some time to call in still, if anybody else wants to call in. We're having a dry night tonight, 347-838-9944. While we are waiting, because everyone's being stupid tonight and just listening and not calling, hint, hint.
Yep.
Let's get back to CM Punk for a minute, Josh. How long do you think Punk's going to be out? I mean, I know he's no longer advertised for the European tour that they're going on now, but how long do you think he's going to be gone?
I would say that he comes back after Extreme Rules. Is that the next pay-per-view? Maybe the next night on Raw after that. I don't think he's going to be gone for too long. I think maybe he's just got, some nagging injuries and he's just going to take some time off to rest and recover and get himself well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, don't forget, though, Extreme Rules is still over a month away, so that is kind of a long time for Punk to be gone. But I think if he does stay away that long, he could come back as a babyface, especially with Ryback turning heel.
Right. You do kind of have to balance that out in some way. And I think Punk would be, at this point, the most over babyface because he was still over when he turned back in August.
Yeah, he's still over now. I mean, he was getting out as hell chance at Mania with The Undertaker, and that's not easy to do.
Right.
All right, we have our favorite Irish girl on the line, so let's get her on the show.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
What's happening?
Nothing. Did I say your name right this week? Did I screw it up?
Well, what ways did you say it?
Right before I put you on the show. Are you not listening to the show?
Oh, sorry, I was preparing my shitty Colt Cabana impersonation.
Oh, you have a Colt Cabana impersonation? Really?
You're still kind of drunk. Have you been hitting the whiskey?
No.
That's a yes.
You believe that, right?
Sure, we believe you.
Straight edge till death, motherfucker.
Before we go on, I would just want to say that this is one of our favorite segments here on the Dark Main Event. Pot of Gold with Neve Jones. Neve, how are you?
Sweet, I get a segment.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. Hooray.
You're an asshole, Josh.
You're our favorite Australian.
Leave my husband alone. Leave my husband alone.
That's racist.
That's racist.
Oh, Lord. All right, I want to hear the Colton Banner impersonation.
I did it. It's done. It's in the can. Burn
what?
That.
I'm lost.
Me too.
Your pot of gold is now reached to the end of the rainbow. If that's it, it's over.
This is the thing about Irish gold. It's like Jew gold. It doesn't actually exist.
Oh.
It is not a pot of gold, my friends. It is a pot of shit.
That's
wow. Taking a dig at me for no reason, huh? Okay. I'll remember that next time you call in. No more segments for you.
You can call it my show again.
And
I'm using
now we're gonna
rent
have
money to make this call.
We're gonna have the potato war again in a minute. Oh boy. Uh-oh.
No, a ceasefire has been called in the potato war. A Good Friday agreement has been reached.
Thank God. That was the most interesting segment on the show last week. I mean,
we only did 30 minutes.
Of course,
it was the most interesting.
That's true. We're already past that this time. So hey, longer show, yeah, yes.
Hooray!
We have a request for you, Need, to speak true Irish. I have no idea what that means, but what is true Irish?
Like Gaelic.
I assume that means say something in the Irish language.
Okay.
If Mr. Edwards cares to elaborate.
Mr. Edwards in the Facebook group, what would you like Neve to say in this true Irish of which you speak? Please hurry up because we don't want to keep her on the line forever. This is an international call here. Remember that.
I can give you one word that you can impress your friends with. I can tell you the Irish for penis.
Ooh, sexy, I like it.
But you love penis. I mean, hearing words for penis.
Penis, the Irish word for penis is bod. B-O-D. Yeah. And if you were to meet a particularly amorous Irish girl, she would say, it's mothlum the bod.
So the Irish word for penis is a body spray. All right, good to know.
Yeah.
Wheat.
Wheat.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Well, Josh says never mind, request invalid. So too late. You already got your request, Jack. Ask next time, get your request clearer.
Anything else
you want to talk about?
I did actually have something I wanted to talk about, and then it went straight out of my head when you brought up the old segment surprise.
Was it about the show last night? Was it about how awesome Josh and Steve are? I mean.
I wanted to tell you about this podcast that I was listening to last week called the Dark Main Event, something like that. These two awesome guys were on this. Not awesome. What's the opposite of awesome?
Awesome would work. That's fine.
I'm good with awesome.
No, that doesn't work. No, it's gone out of my head again. Sorry.
Oh. Well, those Dark Main Event guys sound pretty sweet. Whoever those are, good for you guys.
I bet they have massive penises.
They have massive bods.
Bods.
Bod more.
That too.
Yeah.
Oh, we are so off the rails tonight.
Oh,
this is hilarious.
Okay, I'm going to hang up before this crazy train explodes.
All right, thanks, Neve. Talk to you later.
Bye, Neve.
Bye.
Oh, this is a wild and crazy show. We've had We have Josh freaking out in facebook.com/kayfabecorner, which everybody should go check out.
He's going nuts.
He doesn't like us, Presley.
Why the hell not?
Probably because his pig is on his dick. I mean, it's a pig joke. Just laugh. Oh, boy.
Need to close the
door. Mr. Nelson! Home in! Home in! Here comes the pain!
Oh, shit.
Yeah, here comes the pain for our listeners because we are just moseying along and now we're getting into the random parts of talking about nothing. So, shoot, someone else calls in probably. Yeah, we'll kill the last hour and 15 minutes of boring you to death. Okay, we probably won't do that. Thank you, Tony Atlas, for your very uninformed and nobody cares. Presley, I think we're out of topics for tonight. Do you have anything else you want to cover for another hour and 13 minutes, or do you think we can end?
You know what? I really don't have anything else.
All right. I think we will call it a night then. So, for the Dark Main Event, I'm Steve, and I'm going to let Josh do his signature sign-off.
We have a signature sign-off?
What do you always say after the past two shows?
I don't fucking remember.
Oh, my God. And now somebody wants to call in. This is ridiculous. We're not ending, guys. You guys are jackasses. We're going to take this call.
All right, go ahead and do it.
Hey, yo. It's your boy Dizzle in the BOI of Idaho.
Hey, Dizzle. What's going on?
How you guys
calling
doing?
At the last second and extending our show by another 10 minutes.
Oh, I just wanted to make sure to get everybody out of the way and so I can, like, calm down and actually conversate about what happened a little bit this week and kind of build something new. What's going on? Dude, you guys talked about Cesaro, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Yes, just that change with Kofi. Dude, there's no point to switching that belt off them. The yodeling thing was fucking stupid. But I guess he's been doing it at the house shows lately, and for some reason it was getting over there. So they brought that into TV, which to me, he gave him a stupid gimmick, and then he dropped the belt off them. What the fuck did he do? Don't get any of that at all. Makes
no sense.
Fucked
the wrong belt point.
Maybe. You never know. He figured out which one was which.
Yes, one is indeed larger than the other, as JBL clearly pointed out.
Just by some kind of anomaly that they're just a little bit bigger than the other one. I think if it's right, is it Bree that has the tattoo on her belly? She's got one that sticks out a little bit. You guys talk about RVD, right? Signing a 2-year deal with the WWE, coming in here really quick.
We did not, actually. I haven't seen that confirmed too many places. I know you said Meltzer had something on it.
I believe Meltzer reported it over the Observer that he signed a 2-year deal this last week. The thing with Pot, too, and why Swagger's still getting his push. Vince McMahon don't give a fuck about drugs. The only thing that he really cares about when it comes to certain things, drugs, obviously cocaine, heroin, and in the somas, and the painkillers and stuff. He doesn't want the boys using that stuff. But when it comes to, like, marijuana and alcohol, he does not care. If he's like Rock Van Dam, like, you know, he brings a little bit of weed to a show and wants to smoke a little bit before he comes out, he doesn't care. He lets the guys pay the fines in the wellness program, and, you know, the fines went up here just in the last year to, like, $10,000 a quarter. At one point, it was only like $4,000, $5,000, something like that, for a year. And now it's every time we test you guys 4 to 6 times a year, you guys know that you're going to do this, so we're just going to have you pay the fine. It's almost like an agreement, but you're taking a $40,000 a year hit if you choose to use marijuana and still work in the WWE. Like TNA, completely, totally different private company, they don't care. I mean, half their guys are probably jerked up on drugs and somas and crap like that anyway because they know they're not going to get drug tested. But, you know, the wellness policy in WWE like that, and how it was implemented after the, you know, death of Eddie Guerrero. Just the aspect of the pot. And, you know, Vince McMahon would probably sit down and smoke a bowl with you first before he'd fine you for it.
Yeah, that is really true. That's an interesting point, David, about the marijuana. It's interesting to me because Swagger's court date is in June. And
right.
I guess what they're thinking maybe is push him until he gets sentenced, you know, the maximum sentence of 2 days and, you know, $1,900 fines or whatever stupid crap it is in whatever Tennessee or something stupid like that.
He was in Kentucky that he got pulled over in or something weird like that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, somewhere. It's so dumb. So he's going to miss a SmackDown taping, and that's probably going to be it.
If that. I mean, he's a first-time offender, and he's got his fines paid. It's no big deal. The problem is the publicity of it. And, you know, at the time when they were pushing the whole angle, they're still trying to push that anti-American angle and, you know, let's go fishing with Zeb and his outfits. You know, they're doing that angle and they're going to keep going with it. But the writing was a little bit more poignant before Mania in that character, and now Swagger's just another guy. And that mid-card thing that you guys were talking about, they're trying to establish it, but some of these television broadcasts are so fucking long, nobody cares. They just go too long, and then there's breaks in the matches, and it wanes our interest, definitely, when it comes to some of these Raw episodes.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, 3 hours is just way too long, except for the occasional Raw where it actually works.
That's why I usually half the time, you know, if I'm watching it live, I'm semi-paying attention to it, and then maybe on Tuesday night when a good file comes out from the internet, I'll grab it, and then I'll watch it without commercials where it's 2 hours and 20 minutes edited down, and you can watch it in one big shot, and I think I retain more of it when the commercials aren't on. That's the other thing that from, like, a marketing standpoint and a television presentation standpoint, WWE needs to think about from a fan's concept, when they had the whole Donald Trump angle, when Donald Trump come in and was the GM and wanted to buy the place and did the one episode that was commercial-free. You guys remember that? It was probably like 2009.
Yeah,
2009,
I do remember
like
something
that.
Like that happening.
He bought the whole episode and did not air any commercials. And the ratings were up overall 25% because the people didn't change the channels. If they found a way to do sponsorships, if they found a way to do more live reads, if they found a more way to put another bucket of chicken in front of Jerry the King Lawler's hands and try to sell it to you, you know, figured out different ways of presenting advertising in that broadcast and narrowed everything down to a two-hour program, they'd probably be one of the most popular television shows once again on cable, you know, that shit they drill into our head about the ratings. Well, the ratings would go up even more if it was commercial-free in just 2 hours.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is, I was reading something about the Raw ratings today. It said it was down 500,000 viewers from last week. I think that's kind of surprising.
Yeah. Overall, in the averages, too, the third hour has been down the most since they extended to it. Now,
well, yeah,
back
I mean, who's
definitely
going to watch from 10 to 11 after the show starts at 8?
Yeah, well, some of us sickos here do, obviously. And then there's the WrestleMania episodes that ran over. I mean, one of those episodes ran about 20 minutes over. It's like, why do I want to watch this for 3 hours and 20 minutes when it's just drivel? It's written out long garbage. And that was, I think, a lot of the main problems that made me angry leading up to it. Like to explain the sad, the wound up, you know, anticipation I get for WrestleMania every year. If I can, I go back and I'll watch every one of them, you know, leading back up to it, to just pathetic events that I see, and then I'll use the aspect as, well, have I seen any of that in the last 5 years? Well, have I seen any of that kind of presentation in the last two? And it hasn't come down to that. They have been working hard, and, like, even more behind the scenes now that Vince is not in full creative control anymore, really. I mean, he is the last line of what goes out on television, him and Kevin Dunn. But the actual main presentation of the wrestling is all Triple H, and it's all Stephanie, and it's the developmental system that NXT is being run under, and it's that whole process. The newer guys that are coming up, we're going to see Bray Wyatt here probably over the summer. We're going to see, I'm going to still say Chris Hero, damn it, because he's still Chris Hero to me. I haven't seen much of Kazuchika Ohno or whatever the fuck they're calling him. K.O.
Cassius Ohno, I believe. Cassius.
Yeah. Oh, my God, dude. I've seen, like, two of the three matches. When I watch NXT, it's usually with the volume off. I just watch it, you know, just to make it sure it goes through and passes. Because
you turn off JR commentary? What's wrong with you?
Dude, sometimes I pass so much shit in a week. I'll probably pass past the WWE programming, we pass the TNA programming. If I can find stuff from Japan that's either been broadcast or leading up to it, I'll go and look for that. And they're alone, and their broadcasts are just long and drawn out. Some of their iPay-per-views are over 4 hours. Then I got to find Ring of Honor, and I do Ring of Honor shows, and we'll find their iPay-per-views and watch those shows. So after a certain little while, especially over this last like week and a half, we get tired of watching wrestling. It's just way too much. I'm right now starting to get through the Supercard of Honor show.
Okay.
And the tremendous parts in that. But some parts of the undercard for that, to me, were very flat and very unflattering for the show. I still think so far I'm only about halfway through it, but the best part that I saw on that was anything to do with Maria Kanellis. I'll watch, no matter what.
I hear that.
I'm really hoping that Mike Bennett, too, is actually really working to get out of Ring of Honor and go to somewhere better to up his game. And I've also heard Maria is back in talks with WWE to come back in and do some work. So, that's just the kind of stuff that I would be thinking about today on a Tuesday. a modern ramble. I know, guys,
what?
I can talk. I just want to relay that I spent about 3.5 years in radio and actually on an FM radio station here in Boise. So the relay of talking and actually mellowing down and just taking over and talking, that's something that's in my natural behavior.
All right. Well, we'll make sure to limit you to 5 minutes the next time and just hang up on you.
I get that. I understand. I know. Long-winded bastard I am. But no. I'm glad you guys got up and put another show on it, put a little bit more time on it, because I just kind of wanted to listen a little bit more. And then, let people get to know the real Dizzle. You know,
exactly.
The real guy that's going to calm down.
Not the troll Dizzle that we heard on episode one.
Not the guy that's going to fuck with you all wound up and throw Cartman imitations at you and have a good time. And, yeah, but, you know.
All right, Dave. Thanks a lot for calling in, man. We appreciate it.
Don't have too much fun, guys. You guys have a good night.
You
later, Dizzle. Bye.
Later on.
All right, we need to make sure that we hang up on Dave after a few minutes because he will just take over the entire show. And this is not his show. This is ours. Get your potatoes out of your ass. Love it.
Dizzle. I didn't know that he called himself Dizzle until now. I learned something new tonight.
Well, no, he actually does. You should pay attention more often.
Well, fuck you.
You wish you could. All right, that note, I think we're going to wrap up for tonight for real this time. So thank you for listening, everybody. And, Josh, you want to take us home?
Yes, I do. For Steve, I am Josh. Thank you very much for listening, and good night, Internet.